mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdraw. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't want to see inside of my... Chapter 44. After years as a leader of firebenders, Iroh had made a habit of not leaving flammable objects in plain view in his quarters. It served him well when dealing with a hot-blooded nephew. And also, it seems, with dragons. Smoke still rising from his robes, Shidan gave him a wintry smile. Feeling better? Snuffing out one more spark caught in his sleeves, and waving a hand to shoo some of the smoke from their discussion out the window, Iroh gave him a look of devilish innocence. You are his uncle. I suspect he'll forgive you usurping his territory, Shidan mused. But I also suspect he has no true grasp on why he is so angry. Ursa... The dragon grimaced and shook his head. Your brother has much to answer for, and in my arrogance, so do I. Arrogance, Iroh thought. Well, that was part of fire, entwined within the drive to live, to burn, to make the world bend to one's wishes. Should he be surprised, dragons fell prey to it as well. What has happened to Ursa? Shidan let out a rumbling sigh. She is wounded. So you have said, Iroh observed dryly. I must wonder what wound can linger so long and defeat even a fire healer. Not one of the flesh, Shidan looked into memory. Prince Iroh, General Iroh, Dragon of the West. And heir to the throne. You were trained to conquer the world. Pale gold stabbed at him. Did you know what Azulon trained your brother for? We thought we did, and found, too late, that we were wrong. Iroh frowned. Ozai was taught to take up my duties should I fail, and to deal with factions of the court. Deal with, indeed, Shidan said grimly. You were trained in the inner fire to lead, to rule. Ozai was meant to be your right hand, your shadow, your master of Onmitsu. And to that purpose, Azulon trained him to manipulate. The snarl in that word knotted Iroh's gut. My nephew is right. Enough evasions. Shidan's shoulders slumped. Zuko wishes to see his mother. I know it. I can feel it. But I cannot let that happen. It would crush him. Pale gold dimmed. I will not see him broken by what she would do. Chill sluiced down Iroh's spine. Speak plainly. Shidan's fists clenched. My daughter... believes her children are very much alike. Iroh leaned a hand on the table to steady himself, feeling the roughness where Zuko's wild emotions had almost scorched wood. How? He managed. She loved her children, and she feared them, Shidan said starkly. She knew, as Zuko knows, what risk she ran. Two dragon children? Bearing children, with no human blood to bank the fire. The risk of a dark dragon is small, but it is there. And that was before we realized what your brother was. If he closed his eyes, Iroh could almost believe himself in quicksand. The same sense of struggle, of numbing panic. And there was not even an earthbender to blame it on. Surely, she could not believe her own son. Shidan eyed him. I dared not near the royal palace, or recruit watchers too close. Yet even I have heard rumors of Princess Azula. They are nothing alike, Iroh said firmly. They are brother and sister, Shidan observed. Would you claim to be nothing like Ozai? I thought not. He regarded Iroh. You are kin of the Fire Lord's line. It stamps you. Blood and bone. Your niece and nephew, my Ursa's children, are born of that same deadly blood. Power, cunning, ruthlessness. Do you think Makoto would deign to mate with any creature not her full match in them all? Byakko's clans hold Shirotora in their keeping, and the White Tiger has long been a friend to man. Makoto is of lost Asagitatsu, and the Blue Dragon ever hungers for the lives of fools. He wants to deny it. Zuko and Azula were night and day, fire and water. His nephew had nothing in common with the will to murder Sozin had unleashed on the world. And yet, tutors challenged, rules defied, and that one instant in the War Council when all had been lost. Even as a small child, Zuko had hated idiots. Still, surely she knew her own son, Iroh objected. Not with Ozai's interference. She done looked grim. She is my daughter, Iroh. She is, we all are, ill-equipped to deal with lies. And she did love her husband. Part of her still does. Wood made a rasping sound under clawed nails. And when one you care for and bear loyalty to tells you your daughter is wonderful and honorable and a prodigy, well, the best that can be said of your son is that he lacks ambition and is, perhaps, not quite bright. Iroh's heart sank. It is not true. No, but it was true enough, with all about her willing to follow Ozai's lead, Shidan replied. Even you. That hurt, but Iroh's eyes narrowed. There is more. So there is, Shidan admitted. Imagine her flight, General. Imagine you have just killed the Fire Lord. The Fire Lord. And must leave your young in Ozai's hands. Would you wish to believe you had left a child, or merely another monster? It chilled like an icicle to the heart. Surely you have told her this is not so. What could I tell her? Anger, but from that anguished crunch as claws bit through wood, it was aimed at himself. All the reports I had of Zuko were her letters and what Kotone's spies could gather. Before his exile, there was little they could tell me, save that he had not yet earned Ozai's displeasure. Damning enough in her eyes. And after. Ah, yes, Iroh sighed. There had been some very public losses of temper on Zuko's part. More than enough for rumor to spread that the exiled prince was a spoiled, self-serving fool. That he even accepted the quest she has taken as proof of his father's blood, Shidan said quietly. I have tried to remind her it is no more than we of Byakko have sought to do, if far less subtle. I have not succeeded. Ursa was always kind, forgiving, Iroh said heavily. This will break his heart. And so my silence. Steam wafted from Shidan's sigh. I do not think it is wholly her decision, this fear. She struck against the Fire Lord. That shattered the protections the Fire Sages gifted her as the wife of Azulon's son. When I did finally find her, after her escape, the spirit's torment had driven her to injury. Hairs rose on the back of Iroh's neck. Legends of dragon children claim they are immune to lesser spirits. Resistant, Shidan stated. Not immune. Even lesser Kamui, backed by the face stealer's will, are not brushed lightly aside. He frowned. Most of those who seek to harm her are spirits who draw strength from the Fire Lord's war. Kotone and I have taken steps to protect against them, so much as we can. Ursa herself acts in her own defense. Any tie to the line of Sozin is a link her hunters can use against her. To cut herself off from her cubs, to refuse to believe they are anything but Ozai's, it does protect her. Iroh raked him with a look and raised an irritated brow. You speak so calmly of your daughter abandoning her son. Pale Gold slashed at him, bright with rage. Iroh felt the very air grow thick, wavering with heat. Then it died, and Shidan drew in a steadying breath. I am not human, General. Do us both the courtesy of recalling that. If a hatchling is lost, it is lost. You do not allow dark dragons to live, not even your own cubs. Their mother knows them better than anyone. His breath caught. Or she should. Iroh leaned back from singed wood. You never believed Zuko was lost.
I had Ursa's letters.
Shidan nodded slowly.
Ozai may have warped what she thought of which child was the liar. Yet there was one fact she wrote, time and again. Azula thought her uncle and cousin both weak-willed fools, while Zuko loved you.
He smiled.
Over the decades, on my travels for Kotone, I watched you on campaign. I saw a good man, a hard man to be sure, and one who often did not question his father's will. But a good man, one who might have considered the Fire Nation's conquests enough and ended the war.
It would have been possible, then, Iroh allowed, considering what he had deliberately shut away these 6 years, if he had taken the Dragon Throne. With our losses and the Siege of the North? No.
Precisely.
Iroh straightened, recalling the Oasis and the Moon and the legends of Ko. I believe you should explain.
Among you, in this form, I look old.
Shidan obliged.
Among dragons? Suffice it to say that, like my grandson, I too lost much of my clan when I was young. To Makoto and those she considered allies. Dragons were dying before Sozin ever began his hunt, and with those deaths, we lost much. But my clan gifted me with these shards of truth. The Face Stealer was wronged in the past. And in the face of that wrong, he wishes to destroy all those he holds accountable.
The Fire Nation,
Iroh nodded, grim. Humans, Shidan corrected. Every nation is human, General, and so we must all suffer. He chuckled bitterly. Even dragons are human to him, for we share your blood and call you kin. To the Face Stealer, we are no better. Worse, for we were born of Agni's fire, and yet we step into your world of our own will. We are his prey, set to destroy one another, to ease that inhuman hate.
A sobering thought. If you knew this, why not tell the Avatar? Iroh challenged. It is his duty to soothe the Great Spirits.
According to my clan, the last Avatar told was Kuruk.
Shidan shook his head.
That did not end well.
He shrugged.
By the time I was gifted with that history, Roku was already refusing to speak to Sozin. We tried to bring him the news through Fang, but he wished nothing to do with a grief not of his making. Those responsible were dead and dust, he claimed. And if the Face Stealer wished recompense, he had only to ask.
Shidan snorted.
I do wonder why the Fire Sages never admitted it was odd that a Fire Nation Avatar could be surprised by a volcano.
They suffer, serving the Fire Lord instead of Agni, Iroh stated. Zuko tells me Sage Shiyu acted on Aang's behalf. We should...
If you mean to tell Avatar Aang our world is tearing itself apart because of one great spirit,
Shidan cut across his words,
remember whom you are dealing with, and think, he is a 12-year-old boy.
Who is the Avatar and bound to be responsible for the world, Iroh almost said.
but paused at the grim look on Shidan's face. That was the look of one who had seen a scorpion viper twitch and was wondering if it would pass safely by, or if he must act. Which was uncalled for. The White Lotus was prepared to handle avatars lost to evil, yes, but Aang was far from evil. He was only young. It was hard to think of the boy and not the inhuman power within him. Yet Iroh had seen himself that when the Avatar spirit was not striking out, Aang was well-meaning, if impulsive, and prone to sudden kindness. And he pictured that kind young boy facing the face stealer with the best of intentions to set right that ancient spirit's wrong.
I do not think I will be sleeping well tonight. Perhaps he should not be told yet, Iroh allowed. But we might write down what you know and send it to Sokka of the Southern Water Tribe.
Chief Hakoda's son. Interesting choice.
Shidan mused and caught Iroh's look.
Kotone's devoted spy general. Little use would I be did I not know who commanded the Water Tribe fleet.
Ah, and Iroh might never admit it to the dragon, but that was slightly daunting. The White Lotus was accustomed to holding the edge when it came to information, or none of them would have survived in occupied territory. How much those of Byakko knew, that he suspected he had underestimated. Badly.
Sokka is a warrior, by his tribe's ways, inventive enough to have kept Aang alive through his journey, and sensible enough to accept even Fire Nation aid when it is needed.
He chuckled wryly.
Zuko trusts him as well, to a point.
To a point? Shidan frowned. The boy has conflicting loyalties, then. Is the rift within his tribe or his family?
Iroh blinked, for once caught off guard.
In his family, possibly. Sokka and Chief Hakoda were willing to hold truce with us, but Katara, how did you know?
Trust is more precious than the finest sword, and cuts more deeply,
Shidan said gravely.
Dragon children hoard it until they know what binds a man. To a point.
The dragon shook himself, disturbed.
You will see that there is someone standing between them, should Zuko encounter her again.
Unsettling and suspicious. Why? Iroh demanded. Shidan paused, frowned, obviously trying to frame something felt in human words.
It is far more comfortable to have an honest enemy than one who might be an untrustworthy ally.
Iroh straightened, the implication striking home.
He would not kill her.
You know him better than I, Shidan acknowledged. But if I were young and frustrated and convinced she stood between me and one who might be an ally or honorable enemy, I would be tempted, very tempted.
Iroh eyed him.
Perhaps it is not Ursa who believes her children to alike.
Shidan met him, gaze for gaze, sighed and gripped the bridge of his nose in a familiar gesture of, "Everyone around me is insane." Which, Iroh admitted to himself, he'd often enjoyed provoking out of his nephew. The young man was far too focused at times. If a man did not take the time to laugh at himself, how would he ever realize when old goals were no longer practical or even possible?
I did not say he would harm her,
Shidan said precisely, letting go.
I said he would want to. If I loosed my blade against all who made me want to paint the walls with their blood, Kotone would have what was left of several noble clans trying to besiege her, which would be inconvenient.
A puff of steam.
So I restrain myself, as I'm sure Zuko does. As I know Azula does not.
He cocked his head, whiskers twitching.
Have you truly never wished to char an annoyance to ashes?
Agni help them, The dragon actually sounded curious. Iroh had to shake his head.
Not a child. Certainly not a young girl who is a friend to one Zuko does trust. Toph would be quite upset should Katara be harmed.
Toph?
Shidan looked intrigued.
Lady Toph Beifong,
Iroh obliged.
A young earthbender, better known to some as the Blind Bandit.
That grin, Iroh reflected, was far too sharp to be human.
A rumble champion,
Shidan mused.
The Avatar's earthbending teacher, I take it. Young. How very odd. Roku, Kyoshi, Kurok, from what I was told of him, they all took older teachers, established benders.
Perhaps not so odd,
Iroh stated, on firmer ground.
Monk Gyatso, from what I have read of him, was very young at heart.
Shidan rested his chin on a clawed fist, thoughtful.
And perhaps Gyatso and Aang have deeper wisdom than you or my nephew believe,
Iroh said.
Toph has made alliances with those of the Fire Nation who wish to aid her. Katara is willing to listen to her brother, and Sokka would have no quarrel with us if the war stopped. And Gyatso, you would know more than I how he taught Aang to shun bloodshed.
He spread empty hands.
The Fire Nation may not trust the Avatar, but this one, truly, means no harm, so long as the balance is restored.
Shidan regarded him for a long moment.
It must be comforting to have such faith in the spirits.
Iroh started, caught flat-footed.
You are a child of Agni.
Of mortal flesh and bone, just as you. Byakko follows Agni's will, yes, but to do what is right is only to do what is right. It does not guarantee success or even survival. I hope that you are right. I pray that you are right. But I will act to defend my clan and kin. I have seen half of Byakko perish once before. Do not ask me to place my clan's lives in the hands of the one who killed them.
Iroh's eyes narrowed. Pale gold glared back, then reluctantly looked away.
I know it was Sozin's orders that killed them, but if Aang had stayed instead of fleeing, if he had trusted his friends and fled to them instead of the South Pole where he knew no one,
then Sozin might have succeeded,
Iroh said levelly.
The past is gone, Shidan of Byakko. Let it die.
Look my grandson in the eye,
Shidan said, not quite steady,
and tell me you believe the past is dead.
Iroh drew in a hiss of breath. Revenge for Kuzan. Shidan had named Zuko, but for the harm done Ursa and Zuko himself.
What do you intend toward my brother?
Defiance,
Shidan said grimly.
To our last breaths, if we must.
A snort.
Oh, do not mistake me. I want him broken and bleeding at my feet. I want him dead and the ashes scattered.
A low, snarling sigh.
But what I want will not save my children. I know his skill as well as you. If my death would assure his, I would raid the capital myself. But I do not have the power.
A bleak chuckle.
He is Fire Lord, by the Avatar's decree, and with all the will of the world behind him, I am only a dragon.
Iroh kept his expression politely neutral, accepting, not even a hint of a smirk of disbelief. If there was one thing decades at war had taught him, it was that if one's opponent wished to be underestimated, sometimes it was best to play along. And if Shidan believed blood told in Ozai's children, then Iroh could look to dragon children to judge the dragons. 3 years on a small ship with his nephew had taught him much. among other things, that a quiet, calm, desperate Zuko was one breath away from carrying out the impossible. Such as, oh, breaking into Lake Laogai. I must warn Captain G, such adventures can be hazardous to everyone.
A very curious dragon, I will admit,
Shidan went on, humor glinting in pale gold.
I had no idea I would find other kin on board. Who is the little firebender? And who is Jet to threaten him?
He sensed Jinhai, so a dragon was not quite as meek a power as Shidan wished to imply. This should be interesting.
Jet and those like him are part of why Zuko seeks to build a sanctuary,
Iroh began.
We met the young freedom fighter on the ferry to Ba Sing Se.
Meen touched her arm as they headed down the foreboding steel passageway toward the Maya, and an older marine giving her his best big brother look.
You don't have to do this.
Yes, I do, Suyin said stubbornly, getting the words out before her shaky knees could betray her. It wasn't cold down here in Suzuran's brig, but it felt scary. He can't hurt us. He can't hurt Jinhai. He's on the other side of steel bars, thick ones. All true, and none of it made her feel any better. She risked a glance at Mai's impassive face as the noblewoman walked behind them both, ready to nod at any guards who might question them.
I have to see him, Suyin insisted. I have to know why anybody would do what Jet tried to do.
Turn Lee, Zuko, and Uncle Iroh into the Dai Li as firebenders? That was horrible. So they really were firebenders. It was still awful. Jet had lived in Ba Sing Se just like everyone. Didn't he see what the Dai Li did to people?
Well, most of them. Amaya said they'd gotten a good, hard shake when the Earth King had to hide, and they'd be thinking a lot more about what they really wanted to do for the city. Like Uncle Shirong had. And he'd done some horrible things. He said so himself. But Mom and Dad said he wasn't going to do them anymore. Not that she thought it could have been as bad as he thought it was. Uncle Shirong was Dai Li, but he'd helped the city. He'd just been stuck, like Dad had been. He knew what the Dai Li were doing wasn't right. He just couldn't fix it. And when he could fix some of it, when Zuko and her family needed help, he'd been there. That mattered. And now Uncle Shirong was family, and he was going to stay one of the good guys if she and Gia and Mom had to sit on him to keep him that way.
He hates the Fire Nation, and he wants us dead,
Mai said calmly, as if it didn't shake her to the soul.
It's pretty common.
A jet-black brow lifted.
This one seems a little more fanatical than most.
She nodded slightly.
Healer Amaya. Corporal Moriaki.
We're here, Suyin gulped, looking at the steel-barred doors of the brig cells.
Oh boy. Loyal to the Earth Kingdom,
Mai went on.
Or just crazy.
I can hear you!
Yes, we're all quite aware of that by now, young man,
Moriaki said dryly. Like Captain G, his hair had gone all gray, kept short except for one small topknot. The armor's still scary, Suyin thought. But his wrinkles, they were like her father's. A face that looked worried, not one that hurt people. And he carried a bag that looked, well, a lot like Amaya's looked, when she thought she might have to handle something that didn't really need bending to fix. Or needed more than bending. A lot more.
Would you care to answer Lady Mai's question?
Moriaki went on.
Or should we ask your companions?
Messy brown hair lunged at the bars. Don't you dare come near them, you! Amaya's upraised hands halted the spit in midair. Suyin stared, wide-eyed, as the waterbender considered it, and Jet, and a pale-faced Smellerby and Longshot. A knife-sharp motion, and the saliva cracked against the rear of the cell, hard enough to slash paint off steel.
"Normally, I prefer patience and reason," Amaya said, with a sadness that shivered to Suyin's toes. "But Li tried them both. He risked his own life to be certain you escaped Ba Sing Se. And here you are again, attacking one of my tribe. The next one, and there will be only one next one, will draw blood. After that..."
Longshot gripped Jet's shoulder. Brown eyes seemed to clear a little. "Just stay away from us," Jet growled. "You work with the Dai Li. Now you work with the Fire Nation. What kind of waterbender are you?"
"You worked with the Dai Li?"
Suyin blurted out, and wanted to clap her hand over her mouth. Amaya had worked with Uncle Sharong. She knew that. But the way Jet said it, it sounded...
"Oh, yeah,"
Jet breathed, looking her way with a smile that was just wrong. "She's a happy old torturer, didn't you know?"
"Big words from the moron who got himself caught," Mean snarled right back. "Amaya says you're messed up about your family. Well, tough. You know what you almost did to my family? You almost got us all killed. I don't care if she cut your fingers off and made you eat them. Li kept chasing you off, and I couldn't, and you just wouldn't leave it alone."
"Stomp it," Suyin burst out, grabbing his arm. "You're not like this." She glared at Jet, and the boy and the girl with him who weren't doing anything.
"It's true. We were so scared. I don't know what Amaya did, and I don't know what you did, but I know what you wanted to do. You hate firebenders who didn't do anything to you."
She dragged in a breath, trying not to cry.
"Just tell me why."
"You're a firebender?" Jet backed off from the bars.
"You're a firebender."
"She's not," Mean started. Suyin gripped her brother's arm.
"So what do you care? I was born in Ba Sing Se. Dad's a teacher. We would have followed the Earth King all our lives."
Jet's lip curled. "No, you wouldn't." He shrugged at the steel around them. "You're here with the Fire Nation, so you can save your worthless firebending neck." He came one step closer, eyes narrowed and smug. "A true patriot would have died." Suyin froze.
"You can't believe that," Smellerby burst out, crowding next to Jet so he had to look at her. "You can't!"
"I'm afraid he can, young lady," Moriaki said gravely. "I've seen this before, on our own side, unfortunately." The Marine sighed softly. "I imagine you had reason for your hate, young man. It's a powerful force, and not always an evil one. When hope dies, when all else seems to fail, hate can keep you alive."
"Don't act like you get me, firebender!"
Moriaki smiled. "Ah, now there you are mistaken. I am not a firebender, though many of my guard are. I'm only a medic, a combat healer in your terms. And no, I most certainly do not get you. But I have seen those afflicted often enough to understand the forces at work."
An armored shrug.
"You are comfortable in the embrace of your hate. It warms you when all the world seems frozen and fragile as new ice. It gives you purpose, and it walls you away from your grief."
"You've got no right to talk about being sorry, you monster!"
Jet flung a rude gesture at Suyin.
"None of you do!"
Steel gleamed between Mai's fingers.
"You're not boring. You're just rude."
Suyin swallowed, heart beating fast. "Oh, spirits, there was going to be blood and screaming."
"We do not throw weapons into the brig, Lady Mai," Moriaki said dryly. "It annoys the captain." "Too bad."
Steel vanished again.
"Did you two get what you came for?"
"I guess," Mean said, a little shaken.
"I don't get it, but I don't think I want to."
He looked at Suyin. Can we go now? Shivering, Suyin nodded. Jet smirked. That's right, run away! Smellerby jabbed him in the ribs. One quick punch. Quit it, Jet! It isn't right! She flung a glare at all of them. And it's not right for you to keep us here either. Just let us go!
My dear young lady, I assure you the captain will be quite happy to. As soon as we're somewhere, the prince is certain your fanatical friend will do no more harm.
Moriaki stated.
I believe someone mentioned a nunnery.
Dead silence. Longshot raised an eyebrow. Amaya shot Moriaki a dark look.
If the boy should throw the word bastard around, he should know precisely whom he is insulting.
Moriaki said dryly, pulling a scroll from his bag and a hiss of paper.
And why it is likely to get both himself and his companions executed.
He smiled wryly.
It might amuse you to know this turned up in the archives we brought aboard. Dai Li simply never had time to realize it applied.
Smellerby gingerly took the scroll through the bars and started to unroll it. Almost dropped it. Eyes wide, mouth gaping. These are... Against his will, Jet looked, snapped his gaze back up. It's a lie!
Moriaki raised his own brow, affronted. I assure you, it's quite genuine.
It's insane! Jet snapped. The Fire Lord would never...
Is that not your quarrel with us?
Moriaki's tone could have shaved steel.
That we of the Fire Nation are all insane monsters.
You! Jet jabbed an accusing finger toward the Marine. You're trying to play with our heads. It won't work.
Both traitors violated Imperial orders to ex...
Smellerby stumbled on the calligraphy. Longshot gripped the scroll above her hands, studying it.
To exterminate the Water Tribe barbarians, as well as capture the Avatar.
The archer looked up.
Permission is granted to kill them on sight.
Out of the corner of her eye, Suyin saw Mean gulp.
Have I mentioned lately how glad I am that Dad's not crazy? You should meet mine,
Mai said levelly.
He was pleased with me, as long as I didn't move, or breathe, or do anything a proper young lady shouldn't.
She shrugged.
Azula just wanted to make her father happy. It's sad, as long as you're not in lightning range.
What's really scary? Mean muttered. I think I get that.
Me too, Suyin thought,
chilled. Your dad's your dad. You wanted him to be proud of you. And Zuko had walked away from that. Even though Fire Lord Ozai was evil, it had to hurt. It's a lie, Jet repeated flatly, not looking at the scroll. Kill on sight, and we're supposed to believe a whole Fire Navy ship turned traitor?
I won't bore you with the details. You wouldn't believe them anyway,
Moriaki observed.
Suffice it to say that this ship is... a ship of orphans, in a sense. No other commander would lead us or let us fight for our people the best way we can.
He eyed Jet.
But of course, we wouldn't understand you at all.
He straightened.
Have you seen what you needed, Healer Amaya?
To a point, the waterbender acknowledged. It's still possible this could be physical, not obsession. I need a closer examination.
She eyed the youngsters in green and red.
You out.
Suyin had never been so glad to follow a healer's advice. Mean kept his mouth shut until they were safely headed down to the hold. You let him think you're a firebender? That's...
An old ploy, but a good one.
Mai said thoughtfully.
Every clan should have a Kagemusha. People going after benders never expect a knife.
Suyin gulped. She didn't want to. But I would. If Jet was coming for Jinhai, for family, I would. He'll try to hurt her, Mean protested.
If he gets loose near us, probably. Maya agreed. You want him to target Jinhai instead? Suyin stands a fighting chance.
But Jinhai's just a kid!
Suyin stepped onto the next deck and scooted out of the way of a passing sailor carrying a steel plate, a toolkit, and a preoccupied look. Mai and Mean caught sight of him just after. Mai pressed them both against the wall as the man grumbled his way past. Joining Suyin on the deck, Mai gave Mean a sober look.
You think it would matter?
No, Mean sighed, following them through the maze, walled with stowed supplies. Lousy thing to think about people. He glanced at Suyin. But he'll know she's not a bender.
There are ways to fake it, if you're bluffing someone who doesn't know fire.
Mai informed them. Flash paper, flint and oil. There's a paste you can use that keeps you from burning for a few minutes.
Ty Lee showed me that one. We'll need Corporal Moriaki's help to make it. It's tricky, and using too much can make you sick. And you need time to put it on, so it's not useful if you're surprised.
People pretend to be benders? As had become habit, Suyin kept her hand on the wall of the cargo netting as they headed for home. It was just so different from the city. Tough, hempen strands around a woven steel core, black as nut husk dye, carrying scents of salt and fish and tar. Doesn't that offend somebody?
Not Agni. Mai smiled slightly. They say he loves a good trick.
Okay, that was kind of creepy. Do you... Suyin waited for a few neighbors to pass, not wanting to say anything around those who weren't family. Do you think we ran away? Mai was quiet. So was Mean, surprising Suyin. I guess he really wants to know, too.
What Jet calls running, we would call a route, Mai said at last. That's not what we did. We made a tactical withdrawal from territory the enemy holds to their advantage, so we can open a new flank and lead the Fire Lord to divide his forces.
So we ran, but with a good reason, Mean said wryly.
You'd rather have stayed. Dead people don't serve their lord.
Mai frowned at herself.
Ghosts can, but that's rare. Better to be a live problem.
She looked Mean in the eye.
You're a better citizen of the Earth King than Jet will ever be.
Oh, great. Mushy stuff. I'll go see if Mom needs help with dinner, Suyin said in a hurry, and forged ahead. It was even true. Cooking on the ship wasn't like back home, where everyone had a stove. Here, there was a galley with stoves and ovens and really weird things, and the trick was preparing everything to get it set to cook, then nabbing your spot in Cook Luchan's schedule, and making sure you separated all the pairings and peelings and stuff the way he wanted, so it could go into the deadly soup of the day or the worm bins. Which were both creepy and utterly cool. Making your own dirt to grow tiny trees in so there were flowers on board and fish bait? Not that she liked putting worms on hooks, but fishing was something you could do out in the air and not be in anybody's way. Pressed against the netting yet again as some poor lady tried to herd her kids past, Suyin really wanted to be fishing. Another few turns and she was back in their own nook, grinning at Leem and Dayu as they gnawed some of the purple carrots Luli and Meishan were slicing. Her brain stuttered to a halt as she tripped over a sitting kid her own age, with a sword and a wolf-like scowl, and one stark lock of white in black hair. Ah! Strong hands grabbed her, gripping with the kind of calluses she'd first felt on Lee.
Easy, you're okay.
Brown hair, gray-blue eyes, and an odd green armor and uniform that twigged at her memory. One of Dad's scrolls?
Sorry, the swordswoman went on, steadying her. Guess we should get a little further back from the doorway.
You're a Kyoshi warrior, Suyin blurted out, finally placing the sword and fan. How? Who? What?
Saluan, the warrior introduced herself. This gowly silent type is my little sword brother, Longsway.
Flat on the deck, Longsway scowled.
Humph. He's had a rough day, Saluan advised,
helping Suyin step out of the tangle.
Lieutenant Sato said we'd be better off with your families than anyone else. You already know about Yauren.
Picking himself up, Longsway almost growled. Are you going to go through this every time someone else shows up?
You better believe it, Saluan said cheerfully. Bossing say people are weird. Imagine living in the middle of a pile of rocks instead of having a good ocean between you and the bad guys. Only fair to warn them we're going to be weird right back.
She winked at Suyin.
Hey, you're going to be heading up to the galley, right? Can you find out if Lord Shidan sent over any river shrimp?
Any what?
Suyin wondered.
There was a really suspicious grin on her mother's face.
I promise I'll tell you what's in it, Mei Xiang said virtuously. After you try it. Oh, boy.
But she set to work on the carrots anyway, sure of one thing. We're Earth Kingdom and Fire on a Fire Nation ship with a dragon and people from Kyoshi Island on board. Nobody out there is having a weirder day than I am.
Weirdest day ever.
He'd been on a Fire Nation ship before, once, briefly, but he'd never gotten below the deck Katara had frozen him to, which meant his little taboo-breaking sister had probably seen more of the inside of a Fire Nation ship with Aang than he had. Not that he was planning to admit it. Not now, down here with Dad deep in steel away from the wind. Maybe not ever. All the smells are wrong. All the sounds are wrong. Sokka knew Water Tribe ships. Wood and canvas and sticky smells of seaweed pitch to caulk the seams. And fish. Sometimes a copper-rich scent of blood and seal fat. But always a smell of fish. This hold smelled like rust and oil and coal smoke, with a hint of bilge tang from Bato still figuring out the pumps. It creaked, but not like wood. Metal on metal, like the drill, almost too low to hear. It set his teeth on edge. Doesn't seem to bother Dad. But then, looks could be deceiving. Out of the corner of his eye, Sokka saw his father surreptitiously tug at the gray collar of his captured uniform. And felt a little better. Good thing the captain was about Dad's size. And he didn't want to even think that too loud. Not with Aang tucked into a cabin where he and Tao could talk spirits and Katara could try to work on his scars. Aang had a way of not being where you expected him. We've got a problem, and a big one, and I don't know what to do.
You're quiet, Hakoda observed,
searching his section of the hold for anything useful the warriors might have missed in their early hurry to get the mess cleared away before they'd reached the Avatar.
It's big, Sokka said, tilting his head back to stare at the riveted steel. So much steel. You could fit all the knives in the village into one girder and still have room to stuff a canoe in. You've got all this and they want more? Why?
Duh, the Fire Nation was greedy and evil, that was why. Only that wasn't an easy answer. Zuko, General Iroh, Captain G, even that crazy woman, Teruko. They weren't evil. Scary as hell, dangerous, and nobody he'd ever let date his sister. But not evil. They're not like the Fire Army thugs we met at Haru's village or working for Zhao. They don't want anything. Not stuff, anyway. Reminded him of the guards he'd met at Gaipan when he'd tried to warn the village before Jet's flood could crash down on everybody. He was Water Tribe, the enemy. They could see that. Of course they didn't trust him. But when the old traveler had vouched for him, the guy in charge had let him go. Just like that. Get out of here. We'll evacuate the village. Go! And they had
That was still the crazy part. They'd pulled everybody out of the flood's path. Not just Fire Nation. Everyone. Like anyone would have done it. Like it didn't occur to them not to do it. Like Zuko had let Aang go in the middle of a storm instead of get in the middle of them rescuing an old fisherman.
Sokka?
Hakoda frowned, concerned. Sokka held up a hand. Wait a second. Walked to the bulkhead and splayed his fingers against steel. Stronger than wood, stronger than almost anything. Except one horrible night at the North Pole. I think, maybe, I figured out why Aang ticks the Fire Nation off. His father chuckled.
You mean besides the whole Avatar thing?
Yeah, actually, Sokka admitted. I told you about when Zuko raided our village.
Katara told me a bit more.
Sokka reddened.
Well, anyway, the jerkbender waited for me to charge him. Twice. The guards didn't stop me. He did.
He chewed that thought a little more, no matter how sore it left him. They let it be a fair fight. Kind of.
Fair?
Hakoda gave him a skeptical glance. Point is, I had a chance, Sokka shrugged. Not a good chance. Kind of like a tiger seal up against a polar bear. Which wasn't a one-sided fight. Tiger seals had teeth, too. If the polar bear missed that first lunge, the tiger seal could scoot into the water under ice. Bye-bye dinner. Sokka nodded, obviously thinking of that himself.
Go on.
So, fighting the Avatar is like fighting the whole ocean, Sokka stated. Or a volcano. Did I tell you about the volcano? That was scary. Yeah. So when the world tries to kill Fire Nation guys, the decent ones like Iroh, they stop fighting. They save people. Hakoda raised skeptical brows. Some of them do, Sokka insisted. When Zuko took Aang at the North Pole, I would have left him on the ice. I don't think he would have left me. Killed me, maybe, but not left me.
Firebenders are crazy, Hakoda observed. We knew that.
Right, they're crazy, and they don't know when to give up, Sokka agreed. But they believe in a fair fight, at least a one-on-one fight, he amended at his father's skeptical glance. If we can pull this invasion off, if Aang can beat the Fire Lord, we might really win it. If Aang takes down Ozai, everybody else is loyal to the Fire Lord. He tells them to stop, then they'll stop. Well, except for Zuko. Sokka was really hoping Zuko wasn't going to be a problem after the Fire Lord went down. Because, seriously, sure, Aang was the Avatar, but Zuko was ticked off. Katara was alive because Wan Shi Tong had ignored one puny, ticked-off human. He hoped the owl still had a headache. Heh, what are big brothers for?
I hear a but,
Hakoda said thoughtfully.
The plan seems simple, if a little shaky on the details, Hakoda observed. We fight our way in as a distraction. Aang faces and defeats the Fire Lord during the eclipse when no firebender can... Oh.
Yeah, Sokka said grimly.
Oh. One boy bending earth, air, and water against a man without his fire. Hakoda mulled it over. You have a point. But this is still our best chance. We need to beat them first. The Avatar can pound it into their heads that they are beaten later.
I'm not arguing with that, Sokka held up his hands. But if we do this, we can't let Aang go after Ozai alone. He'll get killed.
His father studied him for a long, sober moment. Run that by me again?
Zuko doesn't need firebending to kick somebody's butt, Sokka laid it out. He throws fire at Aang, sure. Aang's always bending back at him as hard as he can. But I know, up close and personal, that Zuko does not need to bend to hurt somebody. He paused. Zuko can take me down barehanded. I don't like saying that, but he can.
What do you think his dad can do?
Hagoda straightened his shoulders, concerned.
You don't think Aang would let him get that close?
Yeah, I do. Sokka sighed. If Ozai tried talking to him, he would. He sat down and waited for Azula when she was chasing us to try and talk her out of it.
That gave Hakoda pause.
He does like to talk.
He has to, Sokka said. He can't kill.
Hakoda covered a cough.
I think the Fire Navy would disagree.
I know. The Avatar kills.
Sokka shrugged.
Aang? He can't. He won't. I'm not saying he hasn't. He knocked a dozen tanks off mountains.
But face to face? Looking Ozai in the eye?
Sokka shook his head.
Sokka's right.
And his heart could get right back out of his throat now. Thank you.
Toph!
Sokka sputtered. How did you sneak down here?
Smirking out of the shadows, Toph pointed back toward the ladder.
Duh, metal bender. I ask it not to make noise, and it doesn't.
That could be handy.
Sokka rubbed his chin, blue beads glinting as he bent his head towards her blind gaze.
So you're worried about Aang as well?
Oh, yeah.
She didn't sound happy about it. Bare feet stepping precisely across the deck toward... Sokka gulped.
Toph, stop!
She did. Inches away, thank the spirits. What's on the floor, Sokka?
It feels kind of like rust, only not, and it's all over the ship. Thought you guys tried to clean up a lot of it.
She faced his way. Is it what I think it is?
Oh, hell. This is Toph. If you think it's blood, yeah?
The little earthbender nodded, shoulders slumped a little.
I figured.
She brushed dark bangs off her face and listened Hakoda's way.
Aang ask anybody how you got this ship?
I don't think he has, Hakoda answered, surprised. Why would he?
And nobody's told him. Both water tribesmen eyed her. Sokka rolling his eyes as he realized, once again, it was just going to bounce off.
It's kind of obvious.
Toph said skeptically.
Aang gets grumpy if you bring back meat, Sokka. What do you think he'd say if this,
her toe stabbed down, almost on the bloodstain,
was obvious?
Oof. Sokka bent a little, trying to be manly. Gave up and flopped down on the deck. Or tried to. The uniform didn't exactly let you flop.
Oh, I don't feel so good.
Toph crouched down to pat his shoulder.
Yeah, me too.
She blew out a breath.
And the really bad part? I don't think we can tell him.
We've got to, Sokka insisted. Or tried to. Somehow he couldn't put too much oomph into it.
Yeah? Tell him the ship you're on, the bed you're sleeping in, the food you're eating. Everybody who had that is dead now, so you can save the world.
She winced. Do me a favor. Put me on land first so I can hide.
He wouldn't hurt his friends, Hakoda trailed off, looking between them. Aang wouldn't, Sokka said heavily. The Avatar? Yeah. Oh, yeah. You heard about Roku's temple.
Remind me to tell you what happened to the one Earth General's fort after he ticked Aang off.
Strong arms wrapped around both of them as Hakoda pulled them together in a hug.
We'll work something out, one step at a time.
He grinned wryly at them.
After all, we're going to be a little busy for anyone to be worrying about little details of how we got this ship. There's this little problem we have to get past, called the Fire Navy.